Chametz is a very interesting study because ultimately he becomes infatuated with the Kabbalah, with Jewish mysticism, and even becomes infatuated with the messianic figure we will talk about in the next lecture, named Shabtai Tzvi, and goes off the deep end. And Leon Amodin is so upset that he has lost this talented, rational student of the sciences. But nevertheless, what is important to capture at this moment is the notion of a celebration of a Jewish student at the university. This, too, is a ghetto scene. So that's scene number two. First scene, you recall, the scene of Luzzatto writing his political pamphlet. The second scene, the celebration of a graduation from the University of Padua. Scene number three, the same Leon Modena, a very colorful Venetian rabbi of the 17th century who leaves us a very interesting autobiography, recruits his talented friend, Salomone de Rossi, to compose music for the synagogue of Venice, using Hebrew texts, but introducing for the first time polyphony, choral music. In other words, let's lighten up this dry affair. Let's get this guy who writes music for the court of Mantua and the court of Venice. Let's hire him, bring in a group of soloists, and let us perform music that is similar to the Baroque church. Indeed, there is a little bit of criticism of this approach, and Modena is forced to write an accompanying rabbinic responsum, justifying the novelty and arguing that indeed it is kosher, it is okay to do it, it is fine to do this. De Rossi composes his great songs, which have been recorded up until the 21st century, introducing choral music into the synagogue and transforming the cultural habits of Jews to make them more in line with Catholic society. What emerges quite interestingly is, if you've ever listened to this music, and I'm sorry I can't sing you right now, is the fact that the Hebrew words make it Jewish, but the music itself is clearly Baroque, and clearly you could hear the same kind of music more or less in the Catholic Church. This is what I meant by the ghetto being a place that seemingly is distancing you from the Christian society, but in a real way is making you feel much closer, because you are hearing, aesthetically, you are reacting in the same way that your Christians, Italians are reacting to their own church service in a similar way you do it for your synagogue. So scene number three, therefore, is the emergence of choral music in the synagogue in the 17th century. Finally, scene number four. At the end of the 16th century, a rabbi who was also a Kabbalist, that is, an expert on Jewish mystical tradition, by the name of Aaron Brachia of Modena, community of Jews not too far away from Venice, decided to curb a good time. There had been a tremendous Jewish festival, a very Italian Jewish festival. On the night before, a young man was initiated into the covenant of Abraham by being circumcised, what we call in Hebrew a brit milah, to have his brit. The people got together and had a party, a big party, men and women, wine, you know, vino, this was still Italy, enjoying themselves, laughing it up, enjoying each other's company, going on all through the night, getting plastered with wine, and then hopefully the one who was to circumcise the kid was not too drunk, and in the morning he would do the ritual act and everything would be fine. The rabbi heard about this. This had been going on for years after years after years, and said, no way. We have to stop this. Essentially, men and women need to be separated. Essentially, the members of the religious confraternity, called in Hebrew the chevra, will take over the study of mystical texts and pray throughout the entire night to make it a very serious and somber experience. And thus, toning down this popular celebration is the way to go, by sacralizing it. Now, what does this remind you of? It should remind you of essentially a Catholic Church during the period of the Counter-Reform, during the Counter-Reformation of the Catholic Church, also entering into the secular pockets of Italian society and transforming them by sacralizing them, by making them more religious. In other words, a religious authority on the top trying to impose its will on ordinary parishioners. Indeed, that rabbi is functioning in a very similar way to his own Catholic counterparts. So that story, that last scene, may seem sort of out of whack with the other three scenes, but I'm going to suggest here, by using these scenes, a larger picture that will emerge.